This is the Quality News Network. The stock market, spurred on by the Fed's rate cut, regained its strength after a strong opening, followed by some ups and downs today. We'll have the closing numbers in our business block. Rescue operations were suspended indefinitely today after last night's cave-in that killed three rescuers and injured another six in Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine. There's been no sign of the original six miners caught in the cave-in 11 days ago. Hurricane Dean is gathering strength as it courses across the Caribbean. Forecasters say it could reach Category 5, the most intense hurricane measurement, by Monday. Hurricane Katrina was only a 4. The islands of Martinique, Barbados, Grenada, Dominica, and Santa Lucia are being pummeled. Puerto Rico and Haiti are next. In Texas, residents are drying out from the heavy rains and high winds that came ashore yesterday. At least 7 people were killed in that tropical depression. In Peru, the death toll in Wednesday's 8.0 earthquake climbed to 510 and is expected to rise as more bodies are pulled from the rubble. Major aftershocks continue to rattle the region. Food and other supplies are finally getting to the survivors. South Korea has offered a $7 million emergency aid package to its deluged northern neighbor. North Korea has been devastated by flooding. The U.S. Marines prevailed in a fierce battle north of Baghdad today. 13 insurgents died as the U.S. military converged on an al-Qaeda cell. Interpol has issued an arrest warrant for Saddam Hussein's daughter, Raqqad. She and her mother are accused of terrorism and supporting the insurgency in Iraq. An Indonesian court has reduced the sentences of the terrorists involved in Bali's bombings because of good behavior. The convicts had 5 months shaved off of their sentences as a constitutional right. A Marine search and rescue helicopter that was missing in the California-Arizona desert was found just after midnight, 20 miles north of Yuma, near the Colorado River. 3 Marines and 1 Navy sailor were pronounced dead at the scene. 1 survivor, a Marine, was in stable condition at a Yuma hospital. The cause of the crash is under investigation. A 91-year-old retired Massachusetts factory worker has been ordered deported to his native Lithuania. A U.S. immigration judge said the man was an accomplice in the Nazi plan to murder all the Jews in Poland. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing my car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa, I'm not polluting. I'm just washing my car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
You pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
NASA is considering bringing the space shuttle home a day early to avoid any bad effects of Hurricane Dean. Officials have also decided not to repair a gouge in the space shuttle Endeavour's tiles, saying that the risk of a spacewalk would be greater than that of returning with the ship the way it is. The state of Arizona is urging its municipalities to open up more hazardous waste disposal sites to accommodate the influx of discarded Chinese-made toys that contain lead paint. Arizona is treating the recalled Elmos and other dolls as hazardous waste. The Labor Department reports that between 2004 and 2014, more than half of the fastest-growing jobs will be related to health care, linked with the aging baby boomer population. Retail numbers are up. Kohl's department stores posted a surge in quarterly earnings of nearly 16%. Steve McQueen's 1963 Ferrari Berlinetta sold at auction last night in Monterey, California for $2.31 million. The seller from Thousand Oaks, California paid less for it than the price of a new Lexus about 10 years ago. The Federal Reserve cut the rate from 6.25 to 5.75, and that spurred up the market today, with the Dow climbing back over 13,000 by the time the bell rang, up 233 points at 13,079. The NASDAQ gained 54, S&P was up 35. Oil is back up 98 cents a barrel at 71.98. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 31 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day, and I know you're wondering, is he live or is he been embarked? I have not been embarked. Indeed, this is a live show. We seem to have fully recovered from the Tallahassee area telephone disaster with a half week at least of no dial tones and what have you. We seem to be back and we seem to be solid. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives and to the chat room, the world's most fabulous chat room, and the Head On Radio Network main site. There you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Horn. There are also links to the audio archives, and I believe I mentioned that, and the Strictly Confidential MySpace page, and also links to the music you're hearing on the show. The telephone number, and they will be open all evening. It's 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. Also, that reads as 877-443-2366. If you have a unlimited long-distance calling plan, that's 304-658-3333. It'll say the studio a buck at 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I try to check the email during the breaks. I am so glad to be back. That was a long time to not be on air. There was Thursday and Friday of last week. Then there was Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We had a wonderful guest last evening. We had Rabbi Greg Levine, and our cantor, rather. He was a wonderful guest, and I've talked to him a couple of times today about the show and how well it was received. I hope to have him back soon. It's been an interesting day. Around noon, a fire truck went by the house. Now, that may not sound like much for the folks that live in cities, but when you live on a dirt road with seven families that you've known since you can crawl, that's kind of a big deal. So fire truck went by, full sirens blasting, and I hopped in the car and was ready to back out, and then behind that came a sheriff's officer following the fire truck, and then I hopped in the van, and Doggy and I headed out to see what was going on. It turned out to be my great nephew. He's only 7 years old. He has type 1 diabetes, and he had gone into an insulin scenario where he lost consciousness, and fortunately they were able to walk him through that. It was a huge crisis with ambulances and paramedics and fire trucks and sheriff's officers, and so that was an interesting middle of the day, most unusual in the quiet, sleepy country town. It may not be as quiet and sleepy for long, though. Hurricane Dean seems to be headed in this direction. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if it doesn't take a turn to the right and head either toward New Orleans or Tallahassee. That would be fairly typical for a storm like that. It is huge, and I don't live that far from the coast. Myself and our listener Cossack from down in Panama City are very likely to be picked up and blown north. We may end up being one of your neighbors from some of our people north of Atlanta, as I normally refer to it. I've received a wonderful gift from a Strictly Confidential listener, a generator. It's wonderful. It is very, very nice. It's brand new. It's all boxed up, shipped from the manufacturer. It is a gas-powered generator that will allow me to run the show when there is no electricity here. It's not set up yet. I haven't pulled it from the packaging. I hope to get to that this weekend. In fact, I intend to. It needs to be unboxed and the instructions read and powered up. I'm looking forward to that. I think probably one day next week I will run an entire show using the gas-powered generator just to check it out and just because I can, whether I have electricity or not. And it was a very kind of you to send that along, and I'm just floored. It's an amazing gift. It's bright yellow too. It's quite festive. It's bright yellow like a yellow raincoat. It is a beautiful gas power generator, and and it's real cool. It's digital and all that stuff. It's not one of the old stupid generators, you know, the old, you know, brute force, you know, voltages varying all over the place. It has a digital inverter and all this cool stuff. It's just so slick, and it ought to, in fact, I know it will, power the computer systems just fine, and even if the power fails, the backup UPS will keep the system running long enough for me to go out and kickstart the generator and then switch the power over, so we shouldn't lose anything at all. We'll just have Agnes cut to one of our infamous dance tracks, and then away we will go. And that's the news of today. And let's see. Don't know where to begin. It's just us tonight. Normally we go to a guest along about now, and I'm just lost without my wonderful guests. We have such wonderful people who appear with us on the show that I'm almost lost without them. They are amazing. But it's just you and I, and that will give us a chance to catch up on an awful lot of news that was not covered because we're off air for a few days. And some of these articles are going to be fairly short. Some of them are more lengthy, but it's stuff that I've been meaning to say to you and get out so that we can clear that. I hate to throw away any interesting news just because I haven't had the chance to cover it with you. But interestingly enough, the Christians are doing what they're claiming we're doing. You know the hate crimes legislation that's being claimed that it's going to block their freedom of speech and that ministers can't say out in church that God hates the queers, and the ministers can't say out in church that that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed over it, and all the stories that go on and on that we've heard since we could crawl, that we know better than they do because we've heard them from longer than they've ever heard them. Well, a conservative Christian group has been interrupting services and trying to stop services in two Central Ohio churches. What they're doing is protesting these churches' support for homosexuality, as they put it, which basically means, let's cover the First Baptist Church first. Now, you'll note this is not a Southern Baptist church. There's no way in hell a Southern Baptist church would have a traveling exhibit put on by Family Diversity Project called Love Makes a Family. It is a traveling exhibit. It shows photographs of gays and lesbians, bisexual, transgender, gendered families, the kids, the relationships, normal everyday stuff, which is how we live our lives. Well, that's just more than the Minutemen United can possibly take. And they have started interrupting church services in Ohio. The group has been visiting the churches every Sunday. One of the first Sundays, six of them came into the, we're talking about the Baptist church right now, six of them came into the 11 a.m. service. And during the prayer time, they stood up and started preaching to the congregation. And they started giving the congregation a lecture slash sermon on how the church was acting against God's word by accepting homosexuals. See, you have the so-called right-wing Christians, right-wing for sure, so-called Christians, barging into a church service to shut it down, shutting down their freedom of speech, which is what they claim the hate crimes legislation will do, which we clearly know it will not do. We've discussed it time and time again. It clearly gives the Christians the right to stand on the side of the road and scream faggot and lesbian and dyke. It does not give them the right to kill us, which is going on. The rate of hate crimes is going up dramatically. In Florida alone, it's skyrocketing. I can't get through a day without reading of somebody being beaten to death and left in a coma because they happen to be gay by some 20-year-old jerks who are worried about their masculinity and heard that God hates fags from Reverend Phelps. They have been rebuking the pastors in church for preaching that God loves everyone. Now, that is a quote from one of the ministers. They object to preaching in a church that God loves everyone. They object to churches preaching that we welcome all people. This is true. Not all people are welcome, according to the Minutemen, and you will not tell all the people that they are welcome. They say that they do not hate, that they're not about hate. They say it has everything to do with love. The leader of the Minutemen group in Ohio says that, and Minutemen, what kind of crap is that? Is that something left over from the border where you have the brown-shirted jackasses shooting at the brown-skinned people trying to come over here and pick tomatoes? Or is that some militia group in Ohio? Hell, I don't know. Anyway, the leader of them is quoted as saying, homosexuality is a sin, and what we are doing is about love. Yeah. This is what they're doing at the First Baptist Church. They are also doing this at the Methodist Church in the area. They are saying that the Methodist Church is called the First Congregation downtown. It's a Methodist church, and they're bursting in and preaching here. They say that they're going to show up every Sunday, and they're saying that the people who attend these churches, this Methodist church and this non-Southern Baptist church, are truly hungry for God's Word, and that the Word of God is the Word of God, and it is not subject to private interpretation. Boy, doesn't that hark back to the old Catholic Church thing? It's just amazing to me. When only the priests could read the Scripture and no one else was even able to have a Bible. No private interpretation. No communing with the Holy Spirit here. No, not allowed by the Minutemen. He says he's going to be outside these churches every Sunday as long as it doesn't rain. Now, we don't want any damp gay bashers, do we? No, you better stay out of the rain, sweetheart. You might get sick. We don't want you to do that. They're a group that claims to believe that taking their faith to the street is the thing that they should do. And Lord have mercy. It's one thing to have opinions, but it's another thing to take it to the next level, they claim, and they're crossing the threshold. And by that, they mean they are crossing into a church through the front door into two churches that they are not members of and interrupting the service to stop the pastor's freedom of speech, which is exactly what the sons of bitches are trying to block the hate crimes legislation for. But you see, they don't quite understand that. That's a little difficult for them to wrap their heads around. Most disgusting people I've ever heard of. Minutemen and Ohio, the home of Ken Blackwell and some of our most devoted listeners who live in Ohio. I received a wonderful email from Jay in Tucson. She's a regular listener, and she's commenting on the interview with Rabbi Cantor last night, who I called Levine earlier because I rarely can remember anything for more than 10 minutes unless I have a piece of paper in front of me, and Cantor changed to Levine. It changed to Levine because I'm also going to mention Mark Levine later in this show. And talking about Mark Levine, I inverted that with Rabbi Cantor, and God knows how my mind works. But Jay writes, she's thinking about the interview with Rabbi Cantor, which was last evening. She says, I think, and I just love her, she says, I think you could use a little primer on dealing with Jews or other non-Christians. Jews 101. Well, absolutely. If you could help me, as I explained to him when he joined the show, be gentle with me, you're my first rabbi. And he was indeed a kind and understanding man. Our listener Jay says, I am uniquely qualified for this. She says, I grew up in a little town in a rural county 30 miles from Dallas. I was the Jewish kid in the entire school system. My family belonged to the Reform congregation in Dallas, and I did get an excellent religious education, which is... She says two things to keep in mind, and I love it. She says, just as Methodists, Baptists, Catholics, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, etc., are all Christians, there are some differences. Jews are denominational, too. The major different denominations are Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox. There are other variations of these denominations. The major differences vary, but one thing to keep in mind is the degree of observance in each group. reform. And by the way, our guest last evening, Rabbi Cantor, was reform. She says that reform are the least observant of traditional rules. Generally, they don't keep kosher, which are the dietary rules. They don't fast on certain holidays and etc. The Orthodox are more observant, are the most observant, actually, she says, although there are varying degrees among the different sects. Since Christianity is very centered on belief, and this is very intriguing to me, and it really is. You know, Bob talks about this a lot, too. We're pretty much fed up. If you want to believe something, just go believe it quietly somewhere. Get off our faces with it. Lord have mercy. She says, since Christianity is very centered on belief, and boy, is she right. She says that Christians often think that belief is equally important to other religions. Among Jews, emphasis on belief varies. Reform is rather like the Unitarian Universalist, in that one can believe anything they want, including no belief in a God whatsoever, and still be a member in good standing. There's no God in Buddhism, although I know very little about the Hindu religion. I think they look at their gods as symbols to teach and inspire. Then she really gets good. Not many other religions recruit. Muslims and Christians seem to have the corner on that, huh? Absolutely true. You are nailing it on the head. Oh, my. They claim it's the homosexuals recruiting, but it's the Muslims and the Christians. If you're born a Hindu, you're a Hindu, and they don't accept converts. Jews don't proselytize, and in Jewish literature, it's incumbent upon a rabbi to talk someone out of it if they request conversion, to explain to them how they can lead a perfectly healthy and happy life without taking on the additional burden of becoming Jewish. She says, you're right when you noted that there is not a dime's worth of difference between fundamentalists of any stripe. And boy, ain't that the truth. These folks often justify and rationalize their poor behavior, for instance, the Minutemen barging into other churches that they're not members of. They rationalize their poor behavior with sanctimonious religious zeal. You gotta love Jack. She's just amazing. She says, as a friend of mine used to say, get out of my way, sucker. I'm doing God's will. Yeah, you tell them, sister. She says, I've always been suspicious of anyone who says, God and I agree. And at this point, she writes, just plug in the criticism of your choice and the demand on the change of my behavior. Yes, God and I agree that you, anytime you've got somebody saying that they can quote God, you've got a problem on your hands. She says, I've always loved the study of comparative religion. I think that's a very interesting topic myself. My ex-husband used to refer to our household as Judeo-Zen-Baptist. God, you got to love that. Oh, you got to love that. When I was working in television, I think we need a female host, don't we, Bob? I think we might need to talk to this lady. She says, when I was working in television, you got to love this part, I would sometimes direct an evangelist show. They were nice folks. They were well-dressed. They were cooperative. They smelled good, and they paid cash. But I did have some reservations, however, about their prayer counselors who sat in the control room with me answering the phones when the people are calling in for prayer. Jay indicates they were tattooed. They had poor grammar. And I don't believe they came to God in Sunday school. great picture she's painting. I come to my God loves evangelist and shows it in hair theory. It's her God loves evangelist and shows it in hair theory. My evangelist either had sculpted perfect hair that wouldn't move in a hurricane, or the minister of music had flowing long hair and could do a Miss Piggy flip. Both had incredible shine. Have you noticed that TV preachers always have great hair? It must be a gift from God. Hugs, Jay. And thank you so much for that, Jay. And you're a wonderful letter writer, and Jay also recommends a lot of the guests that we have. Jay can always... When anyone that Jay recommends as being a guest in this program, I Normally track them down as soon as possible, although I am behind on the email. There may be one I'm missing in there. I hope to catch up on that this weekend due to my down days. And speaking of the hair, Jay, I've often referred to the Christian Broadcasting Network as the Big Hair Channel. And yes, I have noticed. I have noticed the hair. It's all about the hair. Aquanet is holy, you know. Let's have a look and see what else we have in here. Oh, my. Remember when we talked about how to write an anti-homosexual pamphlet in 15 easy steps? And we mentioned Dr. Paul and Kirk Cameron. You may not remember my mentioning them, but they're father and son, who are notorious and have a long history of pulling together irrelevant facts from communities that have nothing in common with each other, meaning gay folks who are not attached to anyone and who are sexually active and in the party circuit, and pulling that data into settle-down gay couples who have been together for 30 years and then trying to present it as everyone's promiscuous. Well, and there's a whole technique to it. We covered those 15 easy steps. It was wonderful. If you missed that show, I don't remember what date it was, but we had an interesting discussion doing that. Well, Dr. Paul and Kirk Cameron are at it again. This time, they are comparing the gay lifespan and smoking. And they're asking the question, which one is going to cut your life short more quickly? And they're purport to prove that smoking, that being gay is worse than smoking cigarettes. Now, you see, what they did was a presentation before the Eastern Psychological Association. Why the Eastern Psychological Association had these geeks doing a presentation, I cannot fathom, because Dr. Paul and Kirk Cameron are no mystery, and they've been accused of phoning up data, and it's been proved they've been doing it for years. But they were doing a report. They were supposed to be presenting a report called The Federal Distortion of the Homosexual Footprint. Now, what that has to do with is to come up with the true size of the gay community. They were going to pull together information that pulled in adult gay and lesbian folks who were over the age of 60. You see, that's not been done before. And try to come up with the real tally of how many gay folks and lesbian folks are around. Now, mind you, they won't let us just ask this question in the census. Oh, no. We have to run all sorts of mathematical tables and algorithms against the data that they do collect about single households and households with two members, but you can't ask if they're... In other words, you cannot ask what someone's sexual orientation is because they're afraid they'll annoy the conservatives. So it's not a question that we can simply find out like any other attribute. Oh, no. We have to have people like Dr. Paul and Kirk Cameron do presentations about that to prove that homosexuality is more lethal than smoking. He came up with that it would decrease decremental lifespan, practicing. Okay, so it's supposed to decrease being gay. It's supposed to decrease your life approximately 20 years. You know, this is phonied up data. It's difficult to interpret. The final study, the Federal Distortion of the Homosexual Footprint, in fact, it begins by attempting to prove that the size of homosexuals would decrease if it didn't include those over 65. And the reason is they're saying that the vast majority don't live long enough to reach the sixth decade. Now, in order to support this you're going to die early theory of gay men and women and lesbians, they gathered statistics from Denmark and Norway regarding the number of deaths that those men who were in same-sex relationships, and then compared that number to heterosexual relationships. But you see, the men in Norway, they had been married an average of they had been married for many, many years. They had a life expectancy of 76 years. I won't go into all the numbers, but basically what they did was, you see, you can pull in the data because gay folks haven't been able to get married very long. Consequently, there are very few old married gay couples. Well, duh. So if you compare them to a heterosexual group who have been able to get married since dinosaurs walked around, of course you're going to have a lot older people amongst that group. It's domestic partnerships are also pulled into this. They've only been around for, a few years? And I'm not even necessarily in the countries where he pulled this data from. So it's not been around nearly long enough to accumulate any data from qualified people who are old enough to make any significant change in the data. And it violates one of the most fundamental concepts of any numerical statistical theory or number set. Your set's a certain average age, but your set hasn't been around very long, so those that die in the set aren't going to be very old either. And the ones that haven't been around very long are the ones that can get married. Of course, Cameron completely ignores that. But you see, the thing about Paul and Cameron, father and son assholes, excuse my language, they've done this for years, and their statistics always make it all the way into the legitimate media news media outlets. You see, because the person reporting has no idea of these phonied up and stupid numbers that have no relevance to anyone except to prove his theory. But you see, not everyone understands the way the data was, so they assume that Cameron and his son are credited researchers, and in this report they even take aim at the AIDS patients, and they're saying that since nobody has to smoke and nobody has to participate in gay sex, we're spending a disproportionate amount of money on HIV versus lung cancer, so we should pull back on the HIV funding. But they completely overlook the fact that Medicare heavily subsidizes smoking-related deaths. But the statistics always manage to find their ways into legitimate news. So pretty soon on the mainstream media, you, my dear friends, are going to be hearing that it is more dangerous to be a gay or lesbian than it is to smoke, and that we die at least 20 years earlier than you do because we're diseased, and it's bullshit. And I'm so sorry, I was ranting on and wasn't paying attention to my production chat. We have Preston on the phone from Denver. Preston, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good evening to you, sir. I'm doing fine, and thank you for telling us about the small-town gay bar movie. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got to check that out.
Yes, it was wonderful. I've recommended it to several folks. In fact, I even used one of the cuts from that as a music track one evening, the Homo Rainbow track. It was a lot of fun.
Great. I was going to mention Small Town Gay Bar. I thought of the show a couple days ago. I was reading that satirical newspaper, The Onion.
Yes.
I don't know if you get that where you're at, but it's a
just
very
online.
Well done satirical paper. And it has a pretty wide circulation, and they reviewed Small Town Gay Bar. And
really?
I think they gave it a B+ or something like that.
Excellent.
So it's good to see it get some publicity and people finding out about it. I think it's a real tool to, try to develop some understanding.
I think so, too. And Preston, I noticed, I recently discovered that Netflix will allow you to stream some of their movies. To be fair, only 4,000 of their movies amongst, the many, 100, maybe, I don't know how many they have, who knows. But there's more than 4,000, you could be darn sure. In any case,
great.
Small Town Gay Bar is one of the movies that they allow to be streamed. And it is number 12. Out of the 4,000 movies, it is number 12 in the number of people who have streamed it online, which I think is very interesting.
That is great. I just recently joined Netflix, probably about 3 months ago, and I really utilized it. It's been helpful. And I hope, though, they don't drift away entirely from DVDs, because I don't think I want to learn streaming right now, you know. And I also don't want other people who don't have really fast computers to be shut out. So I hope we can have multiple technologies going at the same time. It kind of bothers me to see the ways in which the transitions, the technologies of communication and other things shift without much public input or people bringing up possible, you know, critiques. It just kind of happens. And, you know, some of it's
very true.
It's fascinating. It's magical, the new technology.
Very true, Preston.
And
as someone who has just come from the other side of the digital divide, because I live in a rural area, we had no broadband here until a couple, 3 months ago. I was on dial-up because it was the only thing available. Of course, everybody can get satellite, but that's a major joke. You can't stream anything, and they cut your data back. There's a thousand technical reasons not use it unless you're absolutely desperate. But yes, there's a huge disparity in who can get what.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, who knows? Maybe I'll do the streaming. But for now, yeah. In fact, I wish we still had videotapes. I mean, they were much easier to make duplications of than say a DVD. I know they have DVD-R, and you can duplicate them, but it's a big project. And VCRs, on the other hand, people are dubbing those things all the time. And, you know, there's the whole issue of patents and copyrights and the law and also being fair to the producers and all those kinds of things. But at the same time, I think it's preferable to have at least a segment of the distribution that is kind of open, an open market for people. It's interesting. Some interesting social movements actually have occurred through things like audio tape sharing and distribution. And anyway, so got kind of sidetracked there, but back to The Onion, actually. About a week later, or the week prior, they also had an article that I thought was very much related to the film, and the headline of which is, quote, "Small Town Holds Annual Gay Shame Parade." Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed it. I missed the prior to Gay Shame Parade. The what again?
Small Town Holds Annual Gay Shame Parade.
Oh, Jesus. Tell me, no, Preston. What part of the country was this atrocity in?
Well, you remember, this is The Onion, so they're kind of...
Yes, they fooled me already. They fool me already. You gotta love The Onion. They're so good at what they do that you can believe it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But I'll have to pick up an extra copy for you, and I'll pass it along. I think you'll get a chuckle out of it.
Thank you. That would be fun. It might be that I can locate it online too. I'll certainly have a look at their site over the weekend. It's possible.
Definitely. The Onion. .com, I guess.
Most likely, yes. It'll Google under The Onion.
And anyway, what else? I also wanted to mention the Unitarian Church, University of Unitarians.
Yes.
There's a beautiful old Unitarian church in my neighborhood, and outside, hanging over the front entryway, is a rainbow flag.
Very interesting. And it's interesting to me because in Tallahassee, the Metropolitan Community Church actually meets in the building that the Unitarian Church. It's a beautiful church too. It's not old. It's much newer, but it's very scenic and lots of trees. It's a beautiful location for it.
Great.
But there seems to be a working relationship, I think, in a number of communities where the MCC isn't large enough to have a building to fall into the arms of the Unitarian Church. And it seems to be, you know, completely hands-off. In other words, there's nobody there to let them in. I mean, they have their own keys. They use the kitchen. They clean up after themselves. You know, it's a totally strings-free use of the church.
Great. So we definitely have allies in the faith traditions. You know, it's too bad that the right wing gets so much publicity, you know,
it is.
Co-opted the term Christianity.
They have.
And used it in such a negative way.
They have. you can always assume that you're going to get slugged, that if you hear the word Christian, that there's a fist right behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Are you familiar with Mel White?
Yes. We interviewed not Mel, but Jeff Lutz from Soul Force. Mel, I believe, is the president, and Jeff Lutz is, the co-president or the executive director? I'm not sure. But when I contacted him, it was Jeff that was doing interviews. I'm not sure. But, of course, Mel White is still listed there. Now, I'm on the same page as you, right? Mel White's with Soul Force. I'm not completely lost.
Yes.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Good. Sometimes I completely wander off down the road.
Me too.
Yeah, and you were saying about Mel before I took you off track.
I was going to mention that organization, Soul Force, and I guess he was, and he's written a couple books. I'm not totally familiar with them, but I believe he was a speechwriter for Jerry Falwell.
Yes,
and other people, and doing just some very, basically attacking the community, the homosexual community.
Well, he did. He seemed to hold out hope for Jerry, that Jerry would somehow get it. And I'm just not that optimistic. I don't know how he held out hope through all of that. And there was some story about he moved in across the street from Jerry, and Jerry didn't speak to him for God knows how many years. Is that right? I think there's a story
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was after he came out to Jerry, there was this huge period of time that Falwell would not talk to Mel White.
I wonder if he ever spoke with people. I wonder if Mel's spoken with people like Ted Haggard.
Very likely that he has. It seems to me that the circles he ran in, he was pretty deeply entrenched, and a speechwriter and a ghostwriter. He has more faith in the human spirit than I do. I tend to sometimes just write people off as being just plain evil, where Mel seems to hold out hope. And I'm glad there are people like that. I'm not always one of them.
Yeah, I know just what you mean. I go in phases. Sometimes I really lose hope, and sometimes I'm just like, well, this person's not going to change much, but I'm still going to throw out my own feelings about this and leave the door open, And actually, I think it's Elaine Pagels who's written about the Gnostic Gospels.
Yeah.
And she says something about releasing things inside of you, and I don't know. But it's hard to say. But Jerry did say something towards the end of his life. I think it was Jerry Falwell who, I think at some point he conceded issues regarding climate change and the environment. There have been a lot of evangelicals that have peeled away from the gay bashing and Muslim bashing and that kind of thing. And they're developing this creation care movement concerning welfare of the earth.
I had read that there was some of the evangelical community was taking it more seriously, and here again we're in a situation that you can't find it. I mean, other than the original mention, you can't find any coverage about them. You only see coverage about the dinosaur museum that opened up wherever it was, and they have Adam and Eve living with the In fact, I ran an audio clip on that one evening. Where are they? The media just throws them away.
Yep. And it's in that way that, Christians, whether they're right-wing or left-wing Christians, when they say things like we're treated unfairly in the media, even though they're a majority, they do have a point in some regards. Christianity, in many ways, is made to look ridiculous. And it's disproportionately, they emphasize those figures or those parts of religiosity, and the other parts, the more constructive parts, I think, are often, you really got to dig around for them, you know.
That's,
find
a that
journal
is a
like
wonderful.
Sojourner's Magazine.
Yes, yes.
Something like that.
Yes, that is a wonderful point.
Access issues.
Yes, I had never thought of it in those terms that in fact this heavy coverage of the extreme right is an attempt to make religion look ridiculous. That never occurred to me. I always thought of it in terms of promotion rather than but that is a valid point of view, and I can see where that is and I can see where that's true too.
Yeah, it's complex what's going on, the ways our perceptions are being kind of manipulated at times. But again, I'm always finding these wonderful other outlets, whether it's, you know, something like The Onion, which I think through humor has done really good work. And what else? And what we were saying earlier about films like Small Town Gay Bar getting out there.
Yes, yes.
Maybe not in theaters like we might want to see, some packed theaters, but certainly traveling through the streams and the DVDs and small film festivals. There are a lot of film festivals going on all over the country. And,
I've read recently that, what is his name, Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore. Yes, that Michael Moore is talking openly about his next movie being about the GLBT community. I would assume about marriage and all the other aspects of it, but that will be interesting because his movies do end up in the theaters.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't realize that was his next project. That's exciting to hear.
It is exciting. I read he was it was in the Advocate or one of the news sources. It was an article fairly recently. I swear to you, I would lie. Not delicately, anyway.
You know, and on top of the films, he's been doing such great work. Like when he got on CNN with Wolf Blitzer and that doctor who were trying to make him look ridiculous. You know, this is the trend, again, ridiculize everybody, dismiss them, marginalize, whatever.
Yes.
But the way he stood up in those moments, that was fantastic. And the way the nurses, you know, utilized his film as well, and they organized themselves, and they had huge protests at Sacramento. And again, we don't see a lot of that on the mainstream media, but there's a lot of worker organizing going on.
Yes.
I was glad you mentioned immigrants earlier. It's really,
yes.
I mean, talk about getting framed, dehumanized. Ay, ay, ay. It's, yeah.
Yes. Yes, it's the brown skin people who are taking our jobs. You never mentioned that all the technology is being shipped out along with manufacturing. It's the tomatoes, damn it! It's got to be the tomatoes.
Yep. You know, and the same dynamic, the same economic decisions that made them economic refugees to begin with. I mean, they used to have union jobs, but they privatized their industries, destroyed the unions, fired tons of people. You know, this is how a lot of people became billionaires, by increasing efficiency, they call it, in Mexico. But it put all these people out of work. And, you know, it's called neoliberal economics. It doesn't have anything to do with being a liberal, but it's corporate, you know, tyranny, basically. But anyway, we're facing the same thing. We have the same battle, you know, not against each other, but against, you know, that top 1% that's guiding this stuff along and creating so many problems. So,
wow, you seem to be such a well thought person. You're way more focused than I am. I tend to scatter, tend to be fairly scattered.
No,
you're as good as a guest. As any day.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I enjoy the way you host the show. It really provides a great open space, you know, because I know I mumble and I don't speak clearly and quickly enough and all that stuff, and I appreciate your patience with me.
Well, it's not patience. It's more like fascination. I'm not hearing anything that isn't insightful and even new. For instance, your spin on the media as to lift up the extreme right as being ridiculous, that just never occurred to me, right over my head.
Yeah. And when I've met some of the... actually, I saw another film called Hell House. And it's about that... Actually, it originated here in Denver, I believe, a church created around Halloween, you know, a haunted house type theme, only instead of it being like, you know, traditional Halloween themes, it was around abortion and an anti-abortion message.
Yes, Preston, they certainly did. I didn't realize that was in Denver, and I read something about that too. In fact, they were marketing these kits with the directions for churches as to how to put these together and the scripted lines and maybe even costumes. You know, I guess there were doctors and nurses and in an abortion clinic. I think we're talking about the same. Yes, it was Hell House. I remember it. I remember that. I don't think I ever talked about that on this show, but I do remember reading that a while back. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I disagree with the tone of the message and everything. And I was very much ready to kind of really, I don't know, even mock these people who were involved with this, because the movie is basically a documentary of that being created and who's involved and the church members and how they get involved. But it was interesting to kind of get to know what was motivating them at the root. I don't think it was so much... I don't know, it was a combination. Yes, they're against abortion, and hopefully they can go through their lives and not find themselves in a position to make that difficult choice, because they might choose a different way once they find themselves in that position. But anyway, that aside, they were more interested, I think, in just having some sort of community. I mean, there's so many people feeling so much isolation, alienation, and... you know, they just wanted a connection, and people, you know, they got to be actors in these Hell House things. It gave them a chance to kind of act and speak and to construct things. They might have a carpentry interest or whatever. They got to contribute to that, or making music and da-da-da. It humanized them, and I came away from the film. Still, I don't like the cause, but people within it are decent, and it's fun to meet them. Where I work, there are a lot of evangelicals and stuff, and we certainly have a lot of disagreements, and they usually vote Republican, but to be able to find common ground with them and bring up something like the creation care movement, it's something that doesn't divide us. We're not pitted against each other. And so I think in that way, Mel White may have held on to some hope with Jerry Falwell. You know, there are things that they would never... that he probably never, he could not let go of, and he took it to his grave with him. But I don't know. It would be interesting to hear some Mel White's maybe positive experiences with Falwell. You know,
it would be. It would be. I should try to contact him again and see if, because I believe when Jeff was on the show, I mentioned that we would like to have them back again. I could always contact him and see if we could get Mel White on. I bet he's got some interesting stories to tell. He would tell them.
I mean, I think we could, progressives could really reach a lot of right-wing people to just, like, I don't know. I mean, they do, it's, to hear Rush Limbaugh, lately, actually over the past 3 years, he's been talking a lot about how the environment has become their new religion. And he mocks that notion. You know, it's their new religion. Well, it's actually an old religion. You know, indigenous people had it for a long time, and he may not agree with it, but whatever. It was there.
Very true.
This creation care movement, I wonder if Limbaugh is more speaking to them I mean, he's concerned about Greenpeace and other groups, left-wing environmental groups that are doing great work, but I think he's even more concerned about these right-wingers. And he is constantly mocking environmental issues, saying, don't worry about anything. And people who act against it are eco-wackos.
Yes.
But this latest twist on it, the religion part, there's a right-wing environmental movement going on that is concerning these perception managers of this very elite group. And it's good to see.
Wow. Very good point. Very good point.
I've really enjoyed speaking with you. I know you're close to top of the hour or some break, I'm sure.
That's yeah, it's not a hard rule around here. I'll tell you a little inside trick what we do. I don't know if you're supposed to know this or not, but often, especially with me, I think because I never seem to be able to hit the mark exactly on time, I think they go ahead and download the news like a little bit ahead of the top of the hour so that they could just play it if I'm a minute or 10 off. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so actually. Yeah, they have to work around me. Bless their hearts. Agnes and Bob try so hard.
That's great that you've got that kind of flexibility. That's nice.
I'm awfully glad you called, Preston. This has been a wonderful conversation. You are more than welcome to join this program at any time you like. Maybe you could tell us more about the folks you work with. That sounds like an interesting topic that you work with. I mean, not right now, but it may not be someplace you want to go, but that sounds interesting that you work with such a...
No, yeah, I'd be happy to talk more about the political environment in the workplace. It's interesting and challenging in a lot of ways, but yeah, we'll chat about that sometime.
Okie doke.
And I'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Preston, and good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, that was Preston, our dear listener in Denver, Colorado, the mild high city, who told us about, and you wouldn't expect it from a great progressive city like Denver for him to tell us about small town gay bar, but nonetheless he did. And what a wonderful movie that was. And we managed to get in another Netflix commercial tonight. Agnes and Bob, we really need to start adding up these hours. And I'm not getting it free. Aren't you telling me that Rush Limbaugh gets stuff for free for talking about it? I want my Netflix free. I know. I don't want my Netflix free. I would rather pay for it than get free Netflix and feel like I was... Anyway, I guess it is near the top of the hour. And we haven't done a break since we started the show. I was just wandering around behind the chickens. Tell you what we'll do. There's been a request to play a particular track, and the request is at least 2 weeks old. I've been sending it up to the studio, and then we never get around to playing it. So what we'll do is we'll run the request track, and then Agnes will go right into the top of the hour news segment. And the request is Cher. Bless her heart, she's gonna live forever. You realize the woman sleeps on the dirt from her home country. The woman will live forever, and this is from her live farewell tour. God knows which farewell this was from. She's done so many, and she always comes back for more. But this is from one of her farewell tours, and it's Cher singing The Way of Love.
Stop.
This is the Quality News Network. The stock market, spurred on by the Fed's rate cut, regained its strength after a strong opening, followed by some ups and downs today. We'll have the closing numbers in our business block. Rescue operations were suspended indefinitely today after last night's cave-in that killed three rescuers and injured another six in Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine. There's been no sign of the original six miners caught in the cave 11 days ago. Hurricane Dean is gathering strength as it courses across the Caribbean, and forecasters say it could reach Category 5, the most intense hurricane measurement, by Monday. In Texas, residents are drying out from the heavy rains and high winds that came ashore yesterday. At least seven people were killed in that tropical depression. In Peru, the death toll in Wednesday's 8.0 earthquake climbed to 510 and is expected to rise as more bodies are pulled from the rubble. Major aftershocks continue to rattle the region. Food and other supplies are finally getting to the survivors. South Korea has offered a $7 million emergency aid package to its deluged northern neighbor. North Korea has been devastated by record flooding. The U.S. Marines prevailed in a fierce battle north of Baghdad today. 13 insurgents died as the U.S. military converged on an al-Qaeda cell. Interpol has issued an arrest warrant for Saddam Hussein's daughter. She and her mother are accused of terrorism and supporting the insurgency in Iraq. An Indonesian court has reduced by 5 months the sentences of the terrorists involved in Bali's bombings because of good behavior. The reduction is an Indonesian constitutional right. A marine search and rescue helicopter that was missing in the California-Arizona desert has been found 20 miles north of Yuma near the Colorado River. Three Marines and one Navy sailor were pronounced dead at the scene. The lone survivor, a Marine, was in stable condition at a Yuma hospital. The cause of the crash is under investigation. President Putin has resumed sending long-range bombers on routine patrol out way beyond Russia's borders. He said the move is permanent. The White House said the flights pose no threat to the United States. NFL quarterback Michael Vick is due in court Monday to either accept or reject a plea agreement. Two of Vick's co-defendants, who entered guilty pleas this morning, said that they and Michael Vick executed eight dogs that didn't fight well. They face 5 years in prison and monetary fines. This is the Quality News Network.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
The Alaska Volcano Observatory has noticed a vigorous eruption of lava at the Pavlov Volcano, that's 600 miles southwest of Anchorage. Because the volcano stands beneath a busy international flight path, an eruption could disrupt air travel. Arizona is urging its municipalities to open up more hazardous waste disposal sites to accommodate the influx of discarded Chinese-made toys that contain lead paint. Arizona is treating the recalled Elmos and other dolls as hazardous waste. Steve McQueen's 1963 Ferrari Berlinetta sold at auction last night in Monterey, California for $2.31 million. The seller from Thousand Oaks, California paid less for it than the price of a new Lexus about 10 years ago. Although their stock's been re-rated from sell to neutral, Countrywide's retail customers are losing faith in the mortgage bank. Today and yesterday, customers jammed Countrywide's lobbies and phone lines to get the cash out of their FDIC-insured accounts. The Federal Reserve cut the overnight rate from 6.25 to 5.75 because the downside risks to the economy have increased appreciably, they said. And the Dow got back up over 13,000 by the time the closing bell rang today, up 233 points at 13,079. The NASDAQ gained 54. The S&P was up 35 at 1445. Oil's back up 98 cents at $71.98 a barrel on fears of Hurricane Dean. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back to hour two of this funny little thing called love, or as we formally refer to it as Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, your host, and the telephone number is 877, the number 4, head on, that's toll free. If you have an unlimited calling plan, the number is 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia, and you'll save the studio a dime or a dollar. Email comes in to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. You know, over the break, I was looking in the chat room, as I often do, and I think that the chat room is taking a strange take on the request. You know, that we get these sweet requests via email, and they're just wonderful tracks. So in the chat room, they're starting to request Chicken Dance and Macarena, and, you know, that, as usual, they're completely irreverent. They actually spoke while Cher was playing the Divine Goddess. They actually spoke. Never speak. Oh, dear Lord. I love you guys. Have you noticed? Remember, and by the way, we have a caller on the phone. I'm going to take him just a second. I just got to get this out. Remember, we did a story just a little while back about perception, about how people, cameras were put on people, and observers got to say whether they were straight or gay and what the cues were. Okay. With lesbians, the cues were primarily body posture, a body language that caused people to say that they judged this person to be a lesbian. With gay guys, it was invariably the voice. Not always, but it was the voice. And the reason this comes up is, if you're not gay, you maybe you've never noticed it. But every once in a while, you'll call somebody on the phone. It's like a business call or some kind of call. And the guy gets, I mean, you got a male at the other end, and he gets off calling you, yes, ma'am. You know, he makes that mistake once. And then, so I'm going, la, 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 tell you this, there's something about an email account or something, one of my clients. And he goes, yes, ma'am. And he says, oh, no, I mean, sir. And then, so the conversation proceeds, and then I get another, yes, ma'am, and he stumbles. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's all kind of cues. It's just, you know, we're wired that way. I mean, you know, some people just think of me as, yes, ma'am. Oh, dear God. That happened to me today. So this show has got me so far out of the closet, I'll never find my way back. And the men are starting to call me, yes, ma'am, on the phone. And we have Jim on the line. Welcome to Strictly Confidential, Jim.
Good evening. How are you, Peter?
I'm good tonight. Thank you, Jim. How are you?
Reasonably well. Listen, just a few things. First, my compliments on your last caller.
Well, I mean, great.
That young man is extremely well-spoken, and the content of what he brings to the table is just excellent.
I have to agree.
I was very impressed by what he had to say, and you know, his insightful remarks.
I completely agree.
He's certainly a very, very great asset to your program.
I think he is too. He's an amazing caller, and I believe that's the second time he's talked with Bob, and it's the second time he's spoken with me, I just blown away. He's has great depth. I like him.
Well,
Preston, Denver.
Depth and insightfulness are definite attributes, that's for sure. And he, you know, did provide, I think, a certain ray of hope tonight, which I found very appealing and comforting.
Yes, he did. He managed to do that. And, oh, gloomy guess me. He was saying he did it so well that I wasn't able to stomp all over it. So, kudos.
Yeah, right. You know, just moving to the second topic, and it's the treatment of gay subjects and filmography and stuff. You know, I can remember when I first started seeing movies that dealt with subjects of gay people. The first, I think, was Advice and Consent, based on the book by Alan Drury. Of course, the person hangs himself. And then, of course, in The Children's Hour, based on Lee and Hellman's work, of course,
yes.
Shirley MacLaine hangs herself. In other words, it was pretty grim there for a while. But
disturbing movie. I saw that years ago, yes.
there seems to be an increase in less of that and more positive outcomes for gay people as being treated by Hollywood, and which is somewhat hopeful. It's been one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back, but nonetheless, you know,
I have to agree.
The level of progress is ascertainable.
I have to completely agree, and it's interesting. You know, it used to be always these grim outcomes, like the Children's Hour was a very good example, and then it was always these marginal roles, like, you know, a semi-disturbed individual that just sort of flies through the room and has two or three lines and flies out. He's obviously supposed to be a gay person, but now it seems that more and more positive stuff is coming up. And I read a survey recently, there's actually an organization tracking it, and in terms of total number of programmed shows via network, ABC seems to be doing the best job of that.
Well, certainly CBS has taken positive steps in the right direction with Logo and the some of the programs that they have presented, and Showtime too, things like Queer as Folk and other programs like that, and they have tried to widen their conception of people who are not in the mainstream. And it is encouraging to a degree, to me.
I think so too. There's a lot of good things happening, and you know, you have to wonder. You know, bad things happen to everybody, not just because you're gay, but you know, to people all over the country every day, and you have to wonder if the good outweighs the bad. It must be if you fundamentally, at least for me, Jim, I just fundamentally that good wins out. I mean, it just has to. If we go by the old notion that light displaces the darkness, then good has to win. But it always seems that darkness is the ruler of this world. It's just not a happy place.
Well, no, it isn't. Very unhappy in many places, and of course, unhappiness with the media seems to sell much more footage and coverage than happiness. You know that. People are always looking for something bad because I guess it might make their own life seem to be not quite as bad as what they're seeing on TV or hearing on the radio. I'm not sure what type of human psyche is coming into play with that, but that's sort of the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, and that's the perfect word. You knew right where I was headed with that, Jim.
Well, you know me.
Yeah,
no, I will tell you something funny. I heard you mentioned Halloween. When you mention Halloween, it always brings back a lot of fond memories. Because Halloween,
oh, dear Lord. Yes.
Time.
Yes.
And I remember one night a friend and I were stopped by a cop for speeding on Halloween. And the cop asked the driver, he said, "All right, where's the fire?"
Huh.
I'll never forget what this guy said to that cop.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
He said, "In your eyes, big boy, in your
oh,
eyes."
Oh, Jesus. That, oh Lord, that's as bad as what the firemen are complaining about in San Diego that they're all ready to sue over. That would have been another vile remark, and that the fire department would have listed that we've talked about the other evening.
Well, I believe the policeman's answer was to the driver, "Please step out of the car, young man." Excuse me.
Oh,
and
my.
So it was an interesting evening, to say the least. I won't go any further on that, but.
Okay.
Like I say, Preston's call was very good, and he can call more often. I hope he does.
I hope he does too.
And he can replace some of my outrageousness with true seriousness.
Some of your bawdiness.
Well, I'm not really that bad, but you know.
I know you aren't, sweetheart. I just say that because I can. You know.
Well,
I just say it.
There you go. There you go. And so, on that note, I will bid you good night and let you get on with your show. Hope you have a nice weekend. Hope you get the generator working properly.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I've already picked out a gas can because I have to put and it's red and it will go right next to the bright yellow generator, so it's going to look like a bunch of Easter eggs around here before long, giant ones.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got to make that proper fashion statement with your, you know, with all of your equipment and everything. It's got to be coordinated, right?
Yes, it does. And, you know, extension cords are normally the heavy-duty ones are always orange. I'm going to see if I can find something in a nice eggshell blue.
Ecru? Could be. Who knows? Listen, you take care.
Thank you,
and
Jim.
We'll
and
talk
thanks
to you later.
For... Yes, sir. Good night to you.
Good night, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Jim. You never know where Jim's going or what he's going to say. In your eyes, big boy, that's quite a story from that neck of the woods. I've been wanting to mention to you. This story impacted me because I met a man, and I lived in Portland, Oregon, who had had a lobotomy. He was given a lobotomy when he was about 25 or so by a mental hospital that was attempting to cure his homosexuality. You realize that was a treatment back in those days. It was a pitiful thing to talk to him. You know, you realize the frontal lobotomy, it disconnects the portion of your brain that has a lot to do with emotion and language skills. And speech patterns are disturbed. He tended to speak very slowly with no emphasis on any word in particular. And it was, hello, how are you? A very flatline personality. And it was a pitiful thing to know that his brain had been disconnected, the frontal part of his brain had been disconnected simply because he was gay. And they were trying to stamp that out. Be damned if we can't make him straight. What we'll do is disconnect the part that controls his emotions. I bring this up because this news came out last week. Because of Dr. Day in North Carolina, some of you may know this story, but I haven't covered it here. You see, in the North Carolina General Assembly, medical professionals volunteer, I think for a period of about a week, and they're called the doctor of the day or doctor of the week, and their function is to attend the General Assembly at the State House to treat minor injuries, you know, like when somebody trips and falls over someone else's ethics, any number of casual injuries that occur in state houses every day. Anyway, this man who was the doctor of the week, not only was he the doctor of the week, he actively and aggressively handed out copies of his book. His book advocates the greater use of lobotomy to treat homosexuality. And as I've said, that disconnects the front part of a person's brain. The doctor, his name is, I'm telling you the truth, his name is Dr. Crummy. Crummie. He says, we don't hear about successful lobotomies. Son of a bitch. He mentions that in chapter 14 of the book he passed out to the legislators. The book is called Dr. Bob's Grocery Store Medicine and Healthy Life Anecdotes. The book's 232 pages long. He gave it up for free, and there's plenty of advice. He argues in the book that we should give penicillin and certain antibiotics, not give them away, but they should be sold over the counter without a prescription. Never mind immunities. He recommends that smokers use self-hypnosis to quit tobacco, that schizophrenia is linked to rejection by your mommy. He says there's no such thing as a homosexual. He says the gay movement is a hoax. Says that individuals who act out homosexuality are at the very best neurotic and at the worst psychotic. Most of them have character disorders. Oh, honey, it goes on and on. He describes in one of his funniest stories, he loves to tell the story, he calls it one of my funniest stories. It's when he was working in a North Carolina prison as a superintendent. He threatened to give electric shock therapy to anyone caught in a homosexual act to lick homosexuality in the North Carolina prison. And so, with several inmates present, he demonstrated an electroshock therapy session on one inmate who was, according to this article, severely depressed.
in order to stamp out homosexuality at the prison. It's an outrage this man was... And, of course, there's no apology to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. No apology forthcoming whatsoever. They just... He was a doctor of the week, and now we're just going to just sweep it under the rug. And there was a huge outcry, you know, amongst the more progressive voices, but it doesn't look like this is just an embarrassing moment. Another story, too, where there's a sex offender is the doctor of the day in Texas. He in the Texas House of Representatives. Their doctor of the day recently had 19 counts of sexual performance on a child. You know, just amazes me. We have Kate on the line, and Kate, thank you for joining us from Arizona.
Well, you're welcome, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, I so deserve that. Oh, Kate, it was so funny today. That man kept saying, oh, yes, ma'am. And then he would stumble and try to correct himself, and I'm just going on like, whatever, I don't care, gender sucks anyway. And, you know, and he's... Oh, he was so confused because he knew I was a man, but he was responding as a ma'am, and he just couldn't help it. The poor
baby. Yeah, I get that in drive-through windows. Thank you, sir.
Do you really? It's funny,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, because I wear my hair really, really short because it's hot and you know, and whatever. I'm not hearing you very well. Is there something they can do in West Virginia to boost your audio? Or
I'm not sure. Agnes has got all kind of knobs, and my knobs are set at the north. I said
don't touch
there.
Those knobs.
I won't
got those knobs all set for you. I'll just fake my way through this. I have a really bum phone, too, so it sometimes just hangs up on me, and I don't even know it, and I just keep talking. So if it hangs up on me, I may call back if I'm in the middle
okay.
of a conversation. There, that guy with the book thing, I want to character disorder this, honey. You know, God almighty. Oh, they don't know about
amazing,
character Moses. Disorders.
Yeah, the man is 64, I think, or the Texas guy was sick. One of them was 64. Hell, I don't know. It's hard to tell them apart anymore.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Jim said you and Jim were talking about color coordinating your power there. That's going to clash really badly with my lavender chainsaw.
Oh, Jesus. We'll have to work around it somewhere. I will get a chainsaw cozy.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, sure, I have to put, obviously, mine in the closet. You know, I was thinking, it's interesting that you brought up the small town, quiet, seven people on the road kind of neighborhood. And I was thinking the other day, God, I'd love to call in, but if I thought my phone would work long enough, but nothing ever happens here. And I just, that way I could just give you a countryfied rendition of what goes on in my neighborhood.
Exactly.
And then a snake struck at my neighbor the other day. He walked down off of the porch, and the rattlesnake was just kind of laying there, and it struck at him and kind of hit his pant leg, but it wasn't coiled. Wow. And it was at the house where the snakes kind of always come back for the season. I don't know if they were born there and they come back like salmon or whatever, but there's frequently a rattlesnake over there at least once a year. And I said, oh, God, don't kill that snake, because then that takes care of your rats and mice. And, you know, and I don't know. It's Bob says something about what you do to your karma out in the back. You're killing snakes. You're messing around with Mother Nature, you know. So anyway, we had a snake, and the Pearl Harbor vet next door died in hospice 2 days ago, and that was very cool. His family was with him, and they're all here from Alaska. And, you know,
was
the old man died.
Was he aware that they were there?
I think he was at the end. He opened his eyes, and I think he was just kind of waiting on one of the sons to come home, and he left. We visited quite a bit in the hospice. The hospice here has a hot little hospital with seven beds in it, and it's very cool. I've used them before, and it was very cool. Nice moving time, and whatever. So we had a death one place, and a snake the plateness, you know, and there's... The leach field is running over this afternoon. There's a big old puddle out in the back of the house. never just couldn't have get no more exciting around here, honey.
Well, I know it. But you carry your excitement with you. You know, I'm going this direction because I was going to. It's somewhere in the stack. I can never lay my hands on it when I want to find it. It's a story I've been kicking around. There's a nice little story about a fellow who's headed down, a gay guy. He's headed down to Mississippi area to help out, and it goes on about. You know, he's not doing it because, you know, to say, hi, I'm gay, I'm helping you, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, a nice little story about a gay man who's going in to help. And I thought, well, hell, we have our very own example of that. You know, we can tell our own story of one of the GLBT community helping. And I wanted to do it when I knew you were listening, but I can never find it when you're here. It's, you know, it's a ma'am thing.
Yeah. And I can sometimes listen and not get in the chat room to let you know, and then they were laughing about the spy satellites that can see through your roof and doing all sorts of misdeeds on your person. And my Verizon chip wouldn't pick up through a 40-mile-wide dust storm that blew in. And I thought, if spy satellites can see through the roof, how come my Verizon won't read the towers through a little old piddly 40-mile-wide dust storm that blew in?
Very
I know what's
good
up with
question.
This. Oh, God. Uh-huh. Listen, I forgot to ask you one time. I'm pounding through these. You've been gone so long, honey. We have so much catching up to do.
I'm afraid
my phone's going to hang up. Did you ever call that Alabama guy, that kid, that young man in the flower shop back and say hi?
You know, I did not.
And
I
should do
that.
That?
Yes,
I'm ever so curious.
Yes, I still have the receipt of having dealt with that flower shop. It's I saved it as a file somewhere, and mm-hmm. and the several times I called that flower shop over a several day period to you know mm-hmm. coordinate this, that, and the other, and he was always the one that answered. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'd just be shocked as hell. Ma'am,
well, you just better call him because I keep thinking about him, and I just want to know who he is and would he come on the air. And you know, he doesn't have to advertise his flower shop, but it would just be... You mentioned him, like, way early, about 28 shows ago, and I just haven't stopped thinking about him. So I just wondered if you'd give him a call and say, hey.
That would be interesting to find out what life is like for him. And I think he... was he near Birmingham? He's near some area. It would probably... Mm-hmm. And I bet he didn't grow up in Birmingham. I bet he grew up in some dusty little dirt section.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, you know, everybody does. You know, that's kind
mm-hmm.
of the way it goes. Yeah.
And we talked, you know, we talked about the I forget the name of the bar in the small town where the dykes own the bar now.
Yes.
I have good news. I have good news. Yep. I found out today I have a firm date for Dragon Up From Here sometime between the third week in September or fourth week in September. I'm heading east, and that's the first place I'm going to go.
For real? Have you been able to find it in some way? Were you able to pinpoint it? Because it's kind of vague.
Yes, I know exactly where it's at. So anyway, so I'm going to. But that's the good news. I don't have to put up with bad telephones on the desert and the heat anymore and blah 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 blah. So my co-caregivers came home today and I think I'm going to be able to leave here the last part of September and maybe the very, very, very early October, but it'll probably be more like middle September, so I will have better phone connections. And
okay,
if you would
call us when you such a scoop that is to actually, if we were able to do a live segment from the small town gay bar as featured in the movie Small Town Gay Bar,
mm-hmm.
it would just be fabulous, would it not?
Yes, well, I would just be, I'm not leaving for weeks and weeks, but, and you know I'd be calling from the road to report whatever hysteria is going on out there. But, yeah, that was, when you started, we started talking about that night, and I said, well, I'm just going to go there, you know, so and just say, hey. So I'd be heading that way. I'd be the reporter at large.
Wonderful, and I'm so pleased that you located that. It truly, as best I can tell, literally in the middle of nowhere, where they tell you to turn at the stump and
mm-hmm.
So that's quite a coup. We'll have to advertise this. An actual live report from the small town gay bar. What a hoot!
Well, I don't want to make any promises, but I was just excited to let you know that I'm eastbound and down in a few weeks.
Well, keep checking in with us, and certainly drive safe.
Oh yeah, but oh hell, I'll talk to you 100 times before then, if one way or another. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad you're back, and this has been very cool. And I always try to get in before Jim does, but then I don't want to because I'm so curious what he's going to ask me next. And I really enjoyed the drag queen story last night. Oh my God, that was funny.
I think Jim has a man of many stories.
A very interesting life, but Jim, I mean, Jim and I could we could sit down and write some little short stories and come up with some
no doubt
bestseller stuff.
I know it, and it's one of them Carolina people, and you know they've got a story, the Magnolia and the whole
for
bit.
Sure. Well, I mean, those people could just sit and read the phone book to me. I just love listening to
Jesus.
Talk, so, yeah. So,
good point.
And it's very cool that we had the back porch conversation tonight, and I thought that was a real innovative way to get a lot of people involved in the conversations. And I also wanted to thank Preston for calling in to our show because he's a very interesting guy. And you know what's cool is that when I sign off here at night, I listen to KOA Denver, and so it's always kind of odd, kind of a funny feeling, kind of cool to know that Preston and maybe some other head-on listeners are listening to KOA when we're off stream, not streaming here, you know, and we're just kind of spread all over the country, and that gives the Matrix a whole different kind of, you know, it's easier to conceptualize the Matrix because we're all in it, you know, we're all on that same little strand of web that ties us all together, and we're all connected. Yes, indeed.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Beautifully
so
said.
All those old preacher guys out there with their books, you know, just character disorder this, toots, we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
can you believe it?
What is it you call them? You say that they become incidental, they become non... What's the word?
Oh, I've been saying less and less relevant as they become more and more irrelevant. And then one of my guests might have steered me a little bit differently. I think that maybe he thinks they're becoming more and more devious. And he may be right. It's hard to say, but I like to marginalize them. It gives me great emotional satisfaction.
Well, I like being in the margin. I have more room to move out here. You try to put me in between the two lines, I get really squirrely, honey. But out here on the margin, I got all kinds of latitude. You just never know where I'm going to show up. So anyway, darling, it's good to hear you, and I will check back later, and y'all take care.
Thank you. Thank you for calling, Kate.
Love you, darling. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care. And we have Jim. Jim is back, and welcome back to the show, Jim.
Hey, Peter, thank you for taking my call again, and I'll be brief. This brevity is the soul of wit. But who in the world is this freakazoid doctor talking about frontal lobotomies?
I mean, it's pretty horrifying.
Lord. I mean, you could ask any living member of the Kennedy family of what it did to Rosemary Kennedy, for example. I mean, it sent her back into, like, the fourth year of her life. And the use of electroshock therapy on people?
Yes, he's recommending. He says we never hear about the successful ones. And his name is Dr. Crummie, Dr. Bob Crummie, C-R-U-M-M-I-E. And it was in the North Carolina General Assembly where he was the doctor of the day slash week. Oh, here we go. He's a Rutherfordton physician. Is there a place there called Rutherfordton?
Yeah, I know the city. My God, okay. I would think that he was perhaps a devotee or one of the disciples of Dr. Mengele.
I know, it's pretty horrifying, isn't it? Yeah, and Dr. Fritz is related to rejection by your mommy, and it's just an amazing little story here. I couldn't believe it. They're saying the GLBT community is saying that the assembly has honored a man who would go so far as performing dangerous, harmful practices such as electroshock on people who are guilty of nothing but being a minority.
It's a wonder the American Psychiatric Association and the AMA doesn't have this man censured and his license withdrawn.
Yeah, you'd
think. I mean, I would love to get a hold of him with a pair of knitting needles and see how he liked it.
I know. There was something I saw very disturbing about they do that through the eyeball somehow with a needle.
If you read about that procedure, they have no way of knowing exactly which nerves are being cut or which neural systems are being disturbed. And the same thing is applied to electroshock therapy. I mean, the brain is such a very sensitive thing and such a complex computer. I mean, for example, if you were to take your system and all of a sudden inject them with high volts of electricity or start just short-circuiting them with a bread knife or something, think of what would happen to them and think of what happens to the human brain when you explore unknown regions like that with
good
the delicacy
point, Jim.
Of a butcher.
It's amazing that we survive modern medicine, if you could call it that. It's amazing we survive it at all.
Well, I mean, this is the kind of stuff I used to do at Auschwitz.
It is. It's precisely taken from their chapter, book, verse, this stuff never changes. So, you know, back in the 50s and even into the 60s, there was lobotomies were given, and in England too. So now they're trying to the Christian right is saying that we need to do it through with Exodus by snapping your wrist with a rubber band. You know, you know, the Exodus X gay movement. One of the therapies is that you wear a rubber band on your wrist and you snap your wrist if you are attracted to someone of the same sex. So that's the latest. You pray and you snap your rubber band. It's either that or a lobotomy. It's pretty grim, Jim.
Are these people for real, or are they just really, I mean, is this some sort of joke?
No, sir. The ex-gay movement is no joke. In fact, they're banding together big time to put their faith and mobility, I think they're calling it, and they're lobbying Congress to explain that we don't need to be covered by any bills or marriage or hate crime legislation because we can be cured.
Cured, but simply just basically disabled.
Well, yeah. In fact, I
thought of the creativity aspect of the human brain that they're dealing with, and I mean, turn people into just masses of protoplasm that walks around.
They do, and gay folks are so important. There was a wonderful little clip I saw the other day about what happens to a person who has no gay friends. In other words, if there were no gay friends. And it was a picture. You remember Catherine Harris's makeup, or do you, from Florida? It was like the total pancake. You know, she fell in a vat of face grease, total rouge, everything way over there. So anyway, it was a picture of Catherine.
An absolute horror.
Yes, she was a horror. She was listed as her photograph was the example of what would happen if there were no gay people.
Look, I knew a guy who's from Tallahassee who worked for Office of Personnel Management, and
really?
He used to date her.
Oh, dear Lord, Jim, what a horror.
A good friend of mine for 20 years, I won't call his name, but he's been transferred to CDC, but yeah, he told me he used to date Catherine Harris, and I said, how?
Yeah.
And, that woman, good Lord. I mean, I think Magda Goebbels would probably be more intelligent company than she, to tell you the truth.
Yeah she's going to
get
that
really
family
got me upset
summit.
When you said that business about lobotomizing people and using EFT or electroshock therapy.
Yep.
They just don't know what they're doing to people.
No, they don't know. And frankly, Madeira, they don't care. As long as we stay in the closet. See, it's our fault because we're not keeping our mouths shut, Jim. That's our fault.
Just more examples of man's inhumanity to man.
Yeah.
And these people get away with it. And how they can stand in the pulpit and preach this stuff, much less get before the General Assembly of the North Carolina Legislature. I just find that extremely incredible.
I have to call back and just comment
on that. I appreciate you taking the call.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I didn't get the date printed on this particular page, so I don't. But this was very recently. I just didn't get to it over the last week or so. But it's very recent news.
Well,
I swear.
And I'm sure there's some people up there within the sound of his voice who said, "Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Y'all do that. Show up." So I can hear them now.
Yes.
Okay.
True.
Listen. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jim.
Good night, sir.
Thank you for calling. Good night, sir. And that's Jim, and he's as upset about the lobotomy thing as I was. As I said, I met a fellow who had that particular treatment, and it's not a pretty thing. They leave human shells that walk around and breathe in their wake. I want to tell you about Mark Levine's show from yesterday. It was a fabulous show. Mark Levine, he does a program on the Head On Radio Network called Radio Inside Scoop. Now, it's not a gay program. Mark came out on this show, but he doesn't do a show like this that's focused on these issues. His show is an Inside Washington sort of show, and he covers all sorts of topics, he's an interesting man. He's great. He's sounding awfully happy lately. We were teasing him about that the other day. Over the last couple of weeks, we have detected a distinctly happy tone in his voice. We think that maybe he's in love, but we don't know. He's not telling. We'll have to get him back on the show to get him to confess, because we want to know all the details. Inquiring minds want to know. But in any case, Mark Levine did a remarkable show yesterday. And if you missed that show, you can find it on whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. And you would click on Radio Inside Scoop with Mark Levine, then click on the date, yesterday's date, to hear the program. But this is a little clip from Mark's show yesterday, and a little creative twist on the end that I had to add to it. And Mark, here's to you. That was a wonderful show, and I'll be sure and send this clip to Mark. He will appreciate it. At least I hope he does. He'll either appreciate it or assume me. I don't know which. But anyway, Mark, thank you for yesterday's show. It was a great show, and here's the Mark Levine clip.
To teach hatred of gay people, because they're hurting somebody else. That's why it's perfectly fine for me to say it's wrong for churches to teach that abortion should be illegal, you know, leading women to really harm themselves with coat hangers and keeping them from having sex and so forth. If they're restricting other people's actions, laws against dance, then I got a problem with it. It's really a very simple moral question. If your church teaches don't dance, then God love you, that's your church. If your church teaches you not to dance and not to drink, that's your church. Believe in it. Fine. You don't have to dance. I don't care if you dance. You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
And that one goes out to our dear friend and host, Mark Levine, who the smart money says is in love, has been bitten by the love bug. The love bug done bit me. Didn't mean for him to get me. I tell you, that man is sounding awfully happy these days. He's a cutie, too. Whoever it is, you better hang on to him. He's smart, educated, he works hard, and he's cute. What more do you want? And that track was Safety Dance, of course. It was the Hot Tracks DJ Jimbo remix, which is just fabulous. Everybody dance now. And it's, of course, Men Without Hats. And we've been talking a lot in the chat room lately about the federal government being able to see through the roof. Apparently there is technology now that they can actually see through the roof. Don't fully understand it. Don't know where to go with that, except to tell you that that's what's being reported. Doesn't end there. There's a new proposed FBI program. It looks like it's going to get through. It's going to skirt federal laws by paying private companies, rather, to hold millions of phone and internet records for years, to store at least 2 years, but some will go as long as 15 years. This is something the Bureau is barred from doing, but by contracting it to private companies, you understand, it's a $5 million project. The private companies can store any amount of personal data that they like. This is not a new trick by the federal government to get around the law. They simply outsource it. Of course, it will be data mined, and so if you've ever made a phone call to a technical support call to Toshiba or Dell, for instance, for any reason, I'm sure by combining that with the rest of the information, with the latest techniques in data mining, they can determine what the tire pressure is in your front left automobile tire. Data mining techniques are really quite amazing. You don't have to have anywhere near the whole picture to come up with the whole picture. Combine that with looking through your roof, and you just have America in the 21st century, scary place. The Bureau has been encouraging phone companies to voluntarily store that information, but the corporations are balking because they don't want to, you know, that costs a lot of money to archive that much data. You know, that kind of, you know, high reliability backup, you know, servers, and that's not cheap stuff. So they're going to be paid, looks like now. It's a $5 million project. They're going to, FBI, of course, can't do this, but the ACLU is up in arms about it. It's just a way of getting around the law, of course. As it is now, the telecommunications companies only hold 90 days worth of customer billing records for collection purposes, but the FBI can ask them to refrain from destroying particular records on a particular person if there's an ongoing investigation, but they want all of our phone records stored for a long, long time. And when you mix this in with Pearl Jam's concert the other evening, AT&T carried it. Remember, we were talking about net neutrality and how the big corporations would be able to control what we see and hear. We control the horizontal and the vertical. Well, they did it just the other evening on the Pearl Jam concert. It was in Chicago. And Pearl Jam had the audacity to sing a song with the chorus, "George Bush, leave this world alone. George Bush, find yourself another home." AT&T deleted that from the stream. It was on a slight delay, and they were able to delete that portion of the song and then stream it out. And by the way, AT&T is saying, now they're saying, oh, it was a mistake. It was a mistake by someone we hired to work for AT&T to handle the content for the Blue Room. Now, the Blue Room is the web space that this program streamed on, which is owned by AT&T. Get it? Blue Room, blue AT&T, the logo. And, of course, the AT&T will not say what agency was hired. And, you know, it's the feds. They don't want these young people getting out there and voting. No siree. Can't have that. Let's see. I'm looking over at the time. 5, 6, 7, 8. No, we can't fit in any more of our audio tracks tonight. That's a shame. We'll do them soon. We have a wonderful track. We'll run it next week. It's a lesbian track. In fact, it's from the world's most fabulous straight guy sent this to us, Billy Shears. It's Amy Winehouse doing a song called Valerie. I'd never heard it before, which is usual for tracks that come from Billy. They come out of left field and you've never heard them before, but wow. We have a Family Research Council audio that we're going to run next week. Family Research Council is now running. Did you know there is a God tube? Yes, I'm serious. In addition to YouTube, there is a God tube. And I assure you it's anything but. It's taken over by the bottom dwellers, Family Research Council. We're going to run a Family Research Council clip next week, mixed in with Tainted Love. I think you'll like it. It's got to do with the Exodus people, the ex-gay movement, taking over the lobbying. And then there are a couple of ministers who are anti-gay because they're black, and they're saying that we're trying to take over the gay movement and that gays have never suffered. I say, they hated you for your outsides. They hate us for our insides. What's the freaking difference? What is your problem? Then there's another black man who's talking about he remembers when there were separate black and white water fountains, and he doesn't remember where there was a homosexual water fountain. Well, brother, I'll just tell you this next week, but I really wish there was time to play it, but there's not. But anyway, I remember when there were separate black and white water fountains, too. I go back a little way. I remember it in Thomasville, Georgia. I remember it in Monticello, Florida. And not only that, I remember there were separate waiting rooms at the doctor's office, the black side of where you go into the black entrance or the white entrance for the waiting room for the doctor. And I assure you, the white patients got seen first. I just don't understand, what's your problem. They're saying they don't quote Martin Luther King, but they use Martin Luther King as saying he never imagined that the gay people were going to try to take over the movement. I thought Martin Luther King was about all people, when all people. You remember the I Have a Dream speech? Who could forget the I Have a Dream speech? It's some wonderful audio. If you feel like ruining your weekend, stop by GodTube and have a look at that. And, there's just so much I wanted to fit in, but there's no time because I wasn't here for so many days. I really think, some nights I should just go for 3 or 4 hours and then Bob and Agnes could just sleep when they can. I'm just teasing. Don't kill me, Agnes. And I'm so glad you were here. Please stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links to all the good stuff. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...